So good morning. It's good to see all of y'all here today. Today, our passage of scripture we're going to be studying is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. If you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles there. So let's pray before we get into the word. Father, we just come before you today humbly and just ready to receive the word that you have for us, God. We pray that we can come with hearts that are ready to just listen, God, and obey. And we just pray that if there's any burden or pain or distraction or anything that would be an obstacle to us hearing you, Father, that we can just lay those things at the foot of your cross, that we can just trust that your blood has covered all of them, and that we are clean and redeemed in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, something that was a freeing realization to me just over time, and I'd say more recently, God has really like brought this to my forefront of my mind, that challenged the way that our culture views life, is that maturity is a good thing. Maturity is a good thing. So if we look at the way our culture views maturity, our culture does not view maturity as a good thing. If we look at how the elderly are treated in our culture, they're not treated with as much respect and honor as they are in a lot of other cultures. I think another place we can look to see how our culture views maturity is to look at teenagers. Now, the concept of a teenager is a new concept, relatively. It wasn't until the 19th century that a teenager was really a thing. Because before that, you were either a child or you were an adult. And if you look at a lot of other cultures in the world, we have that coming of age time, this coming of age ceremonies where children are really have that transition from being a child into an adult. And that's something that we're missing in our culture. And we see the results of that where there's young men and women in their 20s who are still behaving as teenagers and still functioning in their family structure as children. And there's that mindset where maturity is not a good thing, where we want to hold on to the things of childhood because there's this fear or this apprehension to move into maturity. Now, this doesn't mean that immaturity is a bad thing in and of itself, because that is a way that God created just our creation, is that things start off immature and they grow into maturity. But where we see problems at is where someone who is supposed to be maturing is staying stagnant in that place of immaturity. So this is the thing that we're going to be looking at in God's word today, is what role maturity plays in our lives as believers. So if y'all can go ahead and read, if y'all can stand, we're going to stand for the reading of God's word. And again, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seen throughout the book of Philippians so far, why the kingdom mindset is important, how the kingdom mindset is applied. And today we're seeing this other facet of the kingdom mindset, which is that the kingdom mindset results in maturity in the gospel. So we're seeing Paul, he's relating the Christian walk to a race. And he says he's striving towards that goal, towards that prize. And I think for us to understand what that goal and that prize is, we have to look at the rest of the context of this. And in doing that, we'll look back into the passage that we were studying a couple weeks ago, where Paul says, in verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So Paul, he is communicating to the Philippian church. He has this desire to know Christ. He has this desire to grow in his relationship with Christ. And before Paul was talking about his desire to know Christ, he was talking about how the gospel saves us. And it's not from any of the works of the flesh, anything that we do that saves us, but it's only by faith in Christ. So Christian maturity is not something where we have the gospel and then we need to go in this next step past the gospel. Christian maturity is, instead of going past the gospel, Christian maturity is growing in the gospel. So in this passage, we see five challenges that Paul gives to the Philippian church for growing in maturity. So the five challenges are this. The first one is humbly acknowledging that we have not arrived. The second one is passionately pursuing a greater knowledge of Christ. The third one is never losing wonder of the gospel. The fourth is following cross-centered, heavenly-minded examples. And the fifth is living in light of our true citizenship. So we have five challenges for growing in maturity, because a kingdom mindset results in maturity in the gospel. So the first one is humbly acknowledging that we have not arrived. So in our journey of growing in the gospel, one of the hallmarks of someone who is in Christ is humility. And let's look at how Paul describes his journey of maturity. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider yet to have taken hold of it. So Paul, he's telling the Philippian church, I don't have it all figured out yet. He's telling them, I haven't reached that prize yet of knowing Christ completely. I haven't reached the resurrection yet. So this is one of the amazing truths of the gospel, is that we don't have to have it all figured out in order to come to Christ. We don't have to live a perfect life in order to come to Christ, because if that was a prerequisite for our salvation, we would never be able to be saved. But we can come to Christ as we are in humility and submission, and he can save us. So, and one of these things about growing in the gospel is that the more that we understand the gospel, the more that we understand our fallen humanity, the more that we understand our need for Christ, the more that we understand the gospel, the more we understand of our own sinful state. But also with that, the more that we understand the gospel, we understand God's grace to us in that fallen state. We can see how God sees us even in our sinfulness. And that's something that's humbling to us, because we realize that it was nothing that we have done that has saved us. It's only the grace of God. It's no work of the flesh. So you may ask, why is Paul... So when you're reading this passage, the question comes up, why is Paul see it important to write this to the Philippians? So apparently, there were some false teachers who were teaching that if someone who was truly a believer, then their life would be perfect. And we see that expectation sometimes in church, where we look at each other and other people and we say, oh, well, look, they have this sin in their life, so they must not know Jesus. Or we say, look, they don't understand this part of the Bible, so they must not know Jesus. But Paul was telling the Philippian church, if we're humbly accepting that we haven't arrived, then we're going to be teachable people. We're going to be people that realize, hey, I am immature, and I have room to grow. And when we realize that we have room to grow, then we can come to God and say, okay, God, I need to grow here. Help me out. We can say, okay, God, I'm struggling with this right here. Like, help me to understand. Help me to be free of this sin. And we see this aspect in the life of a mature believer is teachability, someone who knows that they have room to grow. And I think a good example, just in our congregation, of someone who is teachable, someone who understands what it is to grow and to change with time, would be Dave Nice. He's been the treasurer at our church. How long have you been a treasurer, Dave? When did you start? How old were you? About 25. And he's still the treasurer today. You don't stay in a position of that like that without being able to adapt to new technology, being able to adapt to a new way of doing things. And we just really appreciate how you've been faithful in doing that over the many years. So we can have that same mindset in our walk with Christ, is knowing that we have room to grow and seeking God in that. So the second challenge we have for growing in maturity is passionately pursuing a greater knowledge of Christ. So the first part is humbly accepting that we have room to grow. The second part is passionately pursuing that growth in Christ. Because after we realize that we have room to grow, there's two options. You could say, well, I'm an immature believer, but that's okay. I can still live my life with this sin over here. I don't really have to understand this part of God. It's okay if I still have all these places that aren't figured out, and like, it doesn't really matter. And you can fall into this place of apathy where we're just saying, this is the way things are, and there's no need to really pursue growth. There's no need to really mature because things are going okay right now. But if we're looking at someone who is an adult still living as a teenager, that's not a good situation, because they're still relying on their parents for things that they should be able to do themselves. And a lot of times in the church, we see this happening to us spiritually, where we become stagnant in our faith. We aren't pursuing growth. And we say, well, I haven't arrived yet, but it's okay where I'm at now. But let's see how Paul describes his pursuit of knowing Christ. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So maturity in a kingdom mindset is a passionate pursuit. It is not something that is just coasting along. It's not something that is where we are just along for the ride. But we are working alongside God in pursuing knowing Christ through his Spirit. And we can't give in to the spirit of complacency in our inadequacy. Because Scripture tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. If you have put your faith in Jesus and you have received his Holy Spirit, you are a new creation. Now, the problem that we have as believers, sometimes we don't believe that because our lives don't really look that way. We say, oh, well, like, I know the Bible says I'm a new creation, but this part of my life is still like the old person. And there's like that, there's that conflict there where it's like, I know God told me a new creation, but my life doesn't look that way. And that, and if your life doesn't look like the new creation, that means that you're still holding on to a part of your old self in that part of your life. And what Romans chapter 12 tells us, hold on, we're getting there. Tells us, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." When we accept that we are new creations in Christ, and we see that our lives aren't lining up with that, that means that there's a place in our mind that needs to be renewed. So coming to maturity in Christ is allowing God to bring those places in our life that aren't showing the new creation, putting those places of the flesh to death, and walking in the Spirit. So we're passionately pursuing the new creation in Christ. The second part of passionately pursuing is forgetting what is behind and reaching out towards what is ahead. Paul says, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward bad mistakes, you've clearly experienced consequences. But they don't have to determine the rest of your life. The gospel is more powerful than that. Look at the man who is writing this letter. He persecuted Christians to the death. Yet we don't find Paul saying, oh, I'm limited now. My previous experiences have made me damaged goods. And you don't even find him saying something like, I need to pay back God now. No, he simply forgets what is behind as he is running forward to knowing Christ. And we can do that too. So we see that we're forgetting what is behind and running toward what is ahead. And we have to look at the things that we're forgetting that are behind. One of the things that we need to forget as we're running are our mistakes. And that's one of the things that Satan tries to do to keep us where we are, is by holding us down by guilt and shame of the past. By holding us in that place of, you're never going to be good enough to follow God. You're too dirty for God to use. But the gospel tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We aren't growing in maturity to escape condemnation. We're growing in maturity because we are already justified before God, because we are already clean before him. So we're forgetting the sin that is behind us, and that means we're being forgiven. But the other thing that Satan can use to hold us down, to hold us in the place that we're at, are the achievements of the past as well. There's things in the past that were good things, but they're in the past. And that's something that, as believers, we have to be able to do, is to thank God for things that were in the past and acknowledge them as good things that were from God, but also to let them go once they're past in order to accept the new things that God has for us. And one of the things that God has really walked me through in a journey of learning how to do that was I was a camp counselor back after I got out of high school. I worked at Highland Retreat, and that was one of the best times of my life. That place holds a special place in my heart, and just that group of counselors and friends was always something that was very special to me. And I really loved that. But that time of my life came to an end. That group of friends went into separate directions. But I hadn't let go of that. I hadn't let go of that feeling of the closeness we had there with other people. And not letting go of that, I was not able to really accept the new people God had put in my life. Because I was looking for that same feeling. I was looking for that same experience I had at Highland Retreat in the places I was at. But because of that, I was not content where I was at. But when I was able to thank God for the time I had there at camp, but also to let go of it and accept that I'm never going to get those years back, that was a blessing from God, but God has more new things for me in the future, I was able to move on and really accept and find joy. And in doing that, God has really like brought me to a really new place in Him. And He's really brought me a lot of joy in serving a ministry where I'm at. And He's brought me even more people that I can be working alongside in ministry. And I just want to thank all of the youth leaders that here at Mountain View and the spiritual leadership team and council. Like, it really is a joy to serve alongside of y'all. Even though it's not the same as camp, it's a new way that God has just helped me to find joy here. But I think this same concept of forgetting the achievements of the past that we can apply to our church here today as well is being able to accept the fact that our church had a good time, that God really blessed our church through the pastors that have been here in the past. And being able to thank God for how He blessed our congregation through those men. But also, we have to be able to accept the new things that God has for us. And be able to find God and how He's working in the new pastor that God is going to bring us. And even now, we can, while Pastor Bruce is here, we can thank God that He has given us Pastor Bruce to lead our church. And something I want to say along that line is that Pastor Bruce, he's not here permanently, okay? But neither is any pastor. Every pastor is going to be here for a limited amount of time. And also, Pastor Bruce, he's not a part-time pastor either. I don't think everybody in the congregation sees this, but every month Pastor Bruce sends out a pastoral report, and he is way more than a full-time pastor. Back in January, he put in 68 hours a week in ministry for our church. Like, we are saved by Christ, and then by the gospel of Christ, and then like we move on to this next thing in the Christian life that's going to be like even better than the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The gospel is like the goal, to know Christ. So we don't grow past the gospel, we grow in the gospel. And this is something that is just like so amazing to me, is seeing how Paul says, I have not already arrived at my goal. I have not already obtained all of this. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So Paul's saying, I haven't gotten it yet. I haven't taken hold of this life that God has for me. I am a new creation in Christ, but like, I still haven't fully grasped what that is for me. But this is like the good news of the gospel here, is that even though we don't have a hold of it, Jesus has a hold of us. Jesus has a hold of us. And even though we're not there yet, Christ is going to bring us to that place of maturity in him. He will bring us to the resurrection. So growth comes out of the gospel. And another commentator wrote about this point saying this. The Colossians were trying to move on to something else. And he's referring to some of the problems that the Colossian church was facing. And Paul effectively says this to the Colossians, that there is nothing else. Just as we have received Jesus, we've received Jesus desperately and in faith. So we're to walk in him in that way, desperately and in faith. We can keep looking to Jesus. We can keep treasuring his grace. We can keep relying on his power. Now the Philippians, they faced the threat of false teachers who promoted a sort of maturity that was divorced from the gospel of grace. But in verse 16, Paul says, only let us hold true to that which we have attained. Stay focused on the central truth and keep marveling at God's great work of salvation through Christ Jesus. So it's not like as believers we have the gospel plus more works of the flesh in order for us to please God. But it is only through God and through the Spirit that we can please him. Now the fourth challenge for growing in maturity is to follow cross-centered and heavenly-minded examples. So Paul says in verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Now this is a theme that we've seen throughout Philippians, is Paul giving examples of people for the Philippian church to follow. And we see earlier in the book, Paul was telling the Philippian church to follow his example. We see that he gave the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus at the end of chapter 2. And in the middle of chapter 2, we see where he gave the example of Christ for us to follow. Paul said to follow him, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and Jesus. Now, you may have this question, and this is something that we have to kind of wrestle with as believers, is how do we follow someone who is not perfect? Because three of those people that Paul said to follow were human beings with a sinful nature. They were flawed individuals. But Paul says elsewhere that we're to imitate him as he imitates Christ. So Paul is saying, I haven't arrived yet, but you can still follow me. And this is a blessing that God has given us, is that he places mature people in our lives that we can follow, that we can go to learn. And we can find those individuals and follow them as they are following Christ. And that takes humility for us to do, to say, I haven't arrived yet, and I need somebody else to show me who's already walked that path before. And this is just one of the blessings that God has given us, is that we can have other examples to follow. And that's something that I have prayed for in my life, is for God to put somebody in my life that can mentor me. And God answered that prayer and bring along Pastor Bruce, who has been discipling me. Just, we've been meeting every week, and he's been kind of walking me through that process, and that's been something that has really helped equip me to go and do that for other people. But Pastor Bruce isn't perfect. He still has his flaws. There's still times where we have conflict. Like, it's a human relationship. There's going to be problems there. But he is someone who walks with Christ and who I can look at the places where he's imitating Christ and imitate him in those places. And this is the thing, is like, we don't have to have a perfect leader in order to submit to them and to follow them. And if we have that expectation coming into getting a pastor, that pastor is going to be perfect, then we're going to be disappointed. Who are you spending time with? Who are the people you are surrounding yourself with? Because we can't imitate people unless we spend time with them, unless we see the things that they are doing, unless we are walking alongside them and seeing how they approach different situations. Because you're spending your time with someone, you just have to ask the question, is that someone a person who is following Christ or not? And if you look at where our time goes as people in our culture, a lot of times it's going to people we're working with, it's going on our phones. We can be discipled by technology. We can be discipled by all these other places. But are we surrounding ourselves with people who are mature in Christ, who we can follow? So if we're looking at verses 18 and 19, we also see about following examples that we can avoid the patterns of pretenders and earthly minded people. So Paul's describing some people who are enemies of the cross, and he describes them saying, As I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Now, these were not Christians with bad motives like we saw in chapter 1, nor were these people who denied Christ outright. But these were people who were deceiving others and claiming the cross without taking up the cross for themselves. We see this happening in churches, where churches will preach the prosperity gospel, saying that the purpose of life is for us to be happy, for us to have blessings, while also making millions off of their congregants and teaching them that salvation is found in being happy instead of in Christ. And this is a perversion of the gospel. These people, they enjoy and celebrate what offends God, and they should be avoided. So these examples in our life that are against God, we should not follow those people. So the fifth part of us growing in maturity, the fifth challenge, is living in light of our true citizenship. Verses 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So here in this last part, we're seeing how this is a believer contrasted to those who are enemies of the cross. We're seeing that as mature believers, our mindset should be on heaven. We should have our eyes on the prize, on the goal, which is to know Christ. And when we have our eyes on Christ instead of on the world around us, then we'll have our priorities in the right place. We will be maturing towards Christ. And we know that eternity is what matters. And then we can see the joy and the happiness, but also the suffering and the pain in this life through that lens of eternity, seeing that God is bringing good out of it. And we know that this life, there's going to be trouble, but Christ has overcome the world. And it's only going to get better from this life. So, from this passage, we've seen that a kingdom mindset results in maturity in the gospel. So, that leaves us with this. How can we respond to this as a church? How can we respond to this as a congregation? Now, If you're here today and you have not placed your faith in Christ, if you have not received his forgiveness for your sins, if you have not been justified before God by his death, burial, and resurrection, and that forgiveness that he offers us through that, then you can be saved. You can have that relationship restored with God. You can turn your eyes away from the things of the world and to God. And we're told that we do that by believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins, believing in Jesus as our Savior, and confessing him as our Lord. And if you want to know how to do that, if you want to know what that journey looks like, then I would encourage you to come and speak with me, or if you came to church with somebody else, you can ask them as well, and they can point you towards the right person. But we know that, but in order to like have that maturity in Christ, first we have to come to him. Now, if you're here today and you have accepted the gospel, if you have been forgiven by him, then this is the challenge that I have for you, is to pursue that growth and maturity. Pursue that growth and maturity. And what does that look like? For you, that may look like maybe you haven't adopted that humble mindset yet. Maybe you've grown apathetic in your faith and you've kind of been drifting along, not really coming to grips with, is mentoring someone else, because they're going to ask you questions, they're going to challenge you to grow in ways that you weren't made to before. And that's what we're told to do, is make disciples. Maybe in order to grow maturity, God's telling you to change the influences that you have in your life. Change the input that you have coming. Maybe it's, instead of listening to talk radio, you listen to sermons, or changing the way that you spend your time in the evenings. Maybe the way that God's calling you to mature is you need to forgive someone in your past. Or maybe you need to receive forgiveness for somewhere in your life, one of the sins that you haven't forgotten, that you have been holding on to. Or maybe there's a relationship with the Lord. Maybe there's a relationship or a good thing in the past that you have to forget and let go of in order to move on to the new thing God has for you. We can pray for passion to pursue maturity. And I think that one of the final things that we can see from this passage that we can apply is maybe you've been living your life as that pretender that Paul talks about in verses 18 and 19. That person whose God is their stomach, whose end is destruction. And if that's the person that you've been, that doesn't have to be the person that you continue to be. Like, the gospel is for you. Like, there is freedom in that humility, and Christ can meet us in that place of brokenness. So I just want to encourage you, okay, that maturity isn't something that we have to earn. It's a gift that God gives us as we are abiding in him. And verses 15 and 16, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So if we are in the gospel, there's no condemnation for you, okay? There's no condemnation for you. You are a new creation in Christ. But this journey of maturity is us learning what that new creation is. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you that just in our sin and brokenness and our rebellion, God, you loved us even then. You showed your love by coming and dying for us and restoring our relationship with you. God, we pray that you will just help us to just grow more and more in the gospel, God. We pray that you will help us to just live as the new creations that you have made us to be, that we can seek you in everything, God, and We want to repent of any apathy that we had, God, any sort of resignment we've given to staying in the broken place, God. And we just come to you for that healing, God. We come to you for that passion, God. We pray that you will just give us that desire to know you. And we just trust that you will just give us that desire, God, because you stand at the door and knock. And we pray that we can open it for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.